year.
The NBA has announced Kyrie Irving has been fined $50,000 and was placed on a 5-day quarantine after violating the league's health and safety protocols. That was for that party he attended without a mask last week. Now, according to Bobby Marks, if you put the 5 days into which games he missed for those reasons, Kyrie is going to forfeit $816,000 in salary for the 2 games he missed this week.
Stimulus checks, that is.
Now, sources telling our Adrian Wojnarowski, Kyrie is expected to play against the Magic tomorrow. Steve Nash was asked about that in a press conference today. He had no details on how the reintegration would go. He said, I have no update on how Kyrie would get back reintegrated into the team to play tomorrow, so we will still wait and see. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, alongside Coach David Fizdale, 2008 Finals MVP Paul Pierce. And guys, coming up, we got Luka versus Giannis tipping off in less than 5 hours right here on ESPN. Oh, yeah. Later in the show, we will handicap the MVP race where these two are the front runners in Vegas. Woo! First, though, we begin today's show with, of course, James Harden. Just made his first public appearance as a member of the Nets, spoke to reporters virtually in the last few minutes, addressed a lot of the lingering questions surrounding his departure from Houston and his future in Brooklyn. Take a listen.
What does it represent? What does it mean to you?
It means a lot. Just, coming for, 8 years in Houston and then, having a fresh start with some unbelievable talent and, obviously, the coaching staff, the front office, from top to bottom, the welcome has been amazing. So it's a fresh start for me to go out there and ultimately have a chance to compete at a title.
Bruce Beck, NBC New York.
Hey, James, what's your message to Nets fans on what kind of player and what kind of teammate they're getting?
An elite player, an elite teammate, an elite leader. And just a guy that's willing to do whatever it takes to rack up as many wins as we can. Sacrifice.
Brian Lewis, New York Post.
Hey, James. Welcome. Following up on that, you've proven yourself to be an elite player, and KD's an elite player, Kyrie's an elite player. All you guys have had the ball in your hands and been asked to make big shots. I'm curious how the three of you make sure that you guys come together and keep the main thing the main thing and find a way to gel for the greater good.
Chemistry, sacrifice, and like you said, we're all elite, so depending on the game, depending on, what's going on throughout the course of the game, that's going to determine who gets the ball and who makes the plays. We're all unselfish, we're all willing passers. And we play basketball the right way, and that's all that matters.
Otis Livingston, CBS New York.
Hey, James, welcome to Brooklyn. From your postgame comments after the Lakers lost to what your teammates were saying about you as far as being disrespectful and also you being held out of practice until a trade was made, it got pretty ugly at the end of your tenure in Houston. Is there any part of you that regrets the way that it ended?
I wasn't disrespectful to anyone. Those guys, I just got there, Houston. I've been there for a very long time. I've been through all the ups and downs, with that organization. And I wasn't disrespectful towards anyone. I just made a comment, that the team as a whole wasn't good enough to compete for a title. And, at the stage of my career, right where I am now, that's what I would love. And so I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to anybody, especially not to the organization. And like I said, just I'm excited to be here in Brooklyn and, excited for a new start.
But do you regret the way it ended, though? It's a place that you loved and you had so many highlights.
Yeah, I regret because I'm not the type of guy to, I don't need the attention, especially the negative energy, the negative attention. Like, I've never been that guy. So there were some things I felt like out of my character, but the ultimate goal was to get somewhere, where I can compete, and here I am in Brooklyn. I have nothing but love and respect for that organization, that city, and everything that they've done for me and my family. Much respect.
Hey, James. First and foremost, welcome to Brooklyn.
Thank you.
I guess you would know better than any of us in this room that, you know, winning a championship is not easy, right? You know, there's 30 teams, you know, of those 30, maybe five or six have real chances to win it. You've been part of those five or six for God knows how long since you've been in Houston. You've had multiple runs deep. You've had it with different players from Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Melo, Dwight. I'm just curious as to what gives you the confidence that this time around will be different and that this group can get it done.
Obviously you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the team. And then surrounded by those guys, you have really good pieces in DeAndre, Jeff, Shooters, and Joe, Landry. You just look at this entire roster and it's built for any style of basketball you want. And then the coaching staff who, you know, knows the game of basketball at a high level. You just add that all together and it's like that's a legit chance right there. It was a no-brainer for me.
Rachel Nichols, ESPN.
Hey, James. Obviously, so many great players go without winning a title. There's guys in the Hall of Fame without winning a title. But how about you? How do you see your career in terms of how important it is to actually win that title, to complete what you want to do in basketball?
It's not a guarantee that me coming to Brooklyn is, you know, guaranteeing a title, Rachel. But I think for me, giving myself a chance is very, very important. Giving myself a chance, but, you know, wanting to get paid and wanting to take care of my family was very, very important to me. Now the stage of my career is giving myself a chance to do something that I haven't accomplished yet in this league. And that's very important to me now. And that's the situation that I'm in. And that's why I'm here in Brooklyn. I'm excited for the new opportunity. Obviously, we know it's not easy. It's not going to be easy at all. But, with this roster and this coaching staff and this organization, I think we have a legit chance.
I know you're obviously still getting acclimated to this team, but when you look at yourself and you look at the pieces, what parts of your game do you envision, you know, staying the same for this to work? And what parts do you envision changing for this to work with this team?
Very good question. I think for me, my playmaking ability, we have two elite scorers that the world knows already. My job is to come out here, obviously score the basketball when needed, but my playmaking ability, whereas getting our shooter shots, getting our bigs, finishes around the rim, and making the entire team better. I think that's one aspect of my game that will excel in this offense. And as long as I'm, you know, making my teammates better, it doesn't matter about the points. Like, I think everybody knows that I can score the ball at a high clip. And that's where the sacrifice comes in at.
So a lot there, guys, to unpack. But I give James a lot of credit, by the way. He answered every question. There was no, I don't want to talk about that, or no comment. Paul, you were a part, of course, of the Celtics' Big Three, mm-hmm. KG, Ray Allen, and yourself. Fizz, you coached the Heat. You were the lead assistant on the bench with the Big Three with, of course, LeBron, Wade, and Bosch down in Miami. So I have to ask you guys, hearing all of that, including what James just said about adapting his play and changing and becoming a little bit more of a playmaker, what do you guys think the biggest challenge is, Paul, for how this Big Three is going to come together?
Well, James said it. I heard him say it a couple times, the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Can't be the James Harden that he was in Houston. But my question is to the New Jersey Nets is the style of play.
Jersey?
Because, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets.
Where are you going, man? Listen,
We once said that we would never see a jump shooting team win a championship, then you had the Golden State
Warriors. Of course.
Right.
And now you have three great one-on-one players. Is this the year that we have a one-on-one team style of play? I mean, that's who they are. I mean, am I going to ask James to cut back door? Am I going to ask him to spot up? Am I going to ask the same of Kyrie? So my question is, what style of play? Can they be the first one-on-one team, ISO team to win? We have yet to see. And I don't know what style of play that's going to be, because you have to use these players to their strength. But the sacrifice, That's going to be the biggest things in James is going to have to do in order for this team to succeed.
Yeah, and that's the word I kept hearing, sacrifice. And Spo used to have a great saying, sacrifice is easy until it's you. Yeah. And so we're going to see if these guys are willing to sacrifice. And what does that look like? What does that mean? That means that time of possession with the ball as an individual. You got to make decisions quicker now because you got two other stars sitting on the weak side. Mm-hmm. So you got to make those decisions quicker. Defensively, when you're on defense, are you taking pride in being a top-level defensive team, or is it all about scoring and when you have the basketball? Those are the places that I want to see if those guys are willing to make the sacrifices. And then finally, the off-the-court distractions. Can we get that behind us now and get to where y'all just playing basketball and showing what you can really do as a team?
Well, you guys, we were talking right before the show that you guys, when you came together as a big three in Boston, Paul, the fit was very natural, just between the position Ray played, the way you played, the way KG played. You were saying before the show the fit in Miami was not as just slot, slot, slot. You guys really pioneered that positionless basketball in terms of making it just a regular part of the equation. How did you figure that out as a coaching staff?
Pain, losing to Dallas, you know, really suffering and having to go through that because Dwayne and LeBron were so dynamic with the similar type of basketball game where they needed that ball in their hands a lot. And ultimately, it did come down to us adapting as a coaching staff, but also when we talk about sacrifice. Paul was just saying it. We got after it defensively. That's one thing you can say. That team got after it defensively. And both of those guys, when they didn't have the ball, they made a conscious effort to move without it.
Yeah, that's my biggest question. Yeah. Right. I mean, offense is not going to be a problem.
Defending.
Can they be a top five defensive team? Because if not, I don't see them getting to the finals.
Well, you see this usage rate and clutch time. So these are all, by the way, they have all have a track record of being clutch performers. We threw it up here yesterday on the show. In the last 10 seasons, eight guys have accumulated 1,000 points in the clutch. The Nets now have three of those eight. So they have guys who can come through in the clutch. The question, of course, is a little bit who takes the last shot, but I do think that stuff works itself out.
It does.
It's going to be some guys one night, some guys another night. In terms of defense, I completely agree. I mean, I remember so much, Fizz, that you guys had your first training camp once all those guys came together. Eric decided to hold it at a military base. And that you guys ran only defensive drills for the first few days, week?
It was at least 3 or 4 days that we just went straight defense. And it was to set a tone at a military base because we was getting ready for them. And you had to be so disciplined and sharp to beat that Boston team. They guarded the heck out of you. They moved the ball. They ran their stuff to precision. And they weren't going to beat themselves. So we knew this wasn't no guarantee that we was just going to come strolling out of the East. So we said the one thing we can all do is we can all defend. We'll work out the offensive stuff later. And ultimately, those habits we built in that first year led to the championships.
I do want to ask you one more thing from the presser and what we just heard from James. Remember, Boogie Cousins came out, I think it was yesterday, and said it was extremely disrespectful the way that he treated us while he was here or we were here. James was asked about that. And his comment was, I wasn't disrespectful to those guys. He said, look, he said, I've been in Houston for a long time. They just got here. This was about something much bigger and broader. It really wasn't about them. And he also said that he did have regrets, only in that he said it wasn't in his character to do things that drew negative attention. But he said it did get me to Brooklyn. Paul, how do you see that whole situation? I certainly understand Boogie's side, but also James is right. What he did got him where he wanted to go. The system basically allowed for that.
Well, yeah, I understand both sides. I mean, because sometimes disrespect comes in all forms and fashion. It's not just what you say, it's your actions. And Boogie was saying it like, look, you didn't come to training camp on time. And then we look at his last five games with the Rockets. That's not the James Harden we know.
No.
And so in saying that, it was his actions that garnered the disrespect. But on the other side, what James Harden was saying, he was like, you heard him say, I gave him everything.
Yep.
Right.
I gave him everything. And apparently his everything wasn't good enough to bring a championship to Houston. And that's all you can ask for from a player. So I understand his frustration. as a veteran in this league, as an all-time player. He's made all the money, shoe contract. He's done everything you could do in a game of basketball. Now he just wants to win a championship, and it got frustrating for him.
Coach Steve Nash was asked about this also this morning, and I'm just read off my laptop here for y'all. He said, I think James carried that team for many years. He said gave them everything he had. So since he asked for a trade, he said, I think that this is Steve Nash. He said, I think this was a very small sample size since he asked for the trade. And he said, it's fairly irrelevant if you're discussing James's overall character or whether he's going to be a problem or not. I have to think you'd agree with that, right?
I totally agree. And I think James Harden now, really, he sees the trophy. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get the best of James Harden right now. I really do believe that. And I think, you know, when you get into these tussles, you know, these squabbles, it's always going to be a little messy. Mm-hmm. But let's be real about it. At the end of the day, everybody won.
Yep.
Houston got a heck of a deal with the players they got, the picks that they got, the exceptions, all of that good stuff. And Brooklyn got a hell of a all-time player like he talked
but
about
do,
on both sides.
In any situation, do we expect a relationship breakup to
no.
be smoothed all
right.
the time?
I can't remember one.
I mean, you know, that's just the way it is.
It happens, but it is certainly unusual. And, Paul, I would like to say that Brooklyn has now given away pretty much the same, you know, that just compared to your trade, what they gave away for you, maybe that wipes some of that slate clean as well. All right, guys, before we go, the NBA just announced two more Wizards games have had to be postponed. This is, of course, because of ongoing contact tracing within the team. They do not have the league-required 8 available players to proceed with scheduled games against the Cavaliers this Sunday and Monday, so we'll keep an eye on that. Coming up next, Paul and Fizz are going to tell me who their MVP frontrunners are right now. We're counting down to the Luka versus Giannis game tonight on ESPN, and those two are getting a lot of attention from Vegas odds makers. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, Paul Pierce, David Fizdale. Guys, as you saw, Mavericks-Bucks on ESPN tonight, which means Giannis Antetokounmpo and preseason odds-on MVP favorite Luka Doncic. So, Paul, who is your MVP frontrunner now that we're a few weeks into the season? And remember, it's a shortened season, so we're further in than we used to be.
Those are some great names. Giannis has been MVP. Luka Doncic is doing his thing. Right now, I got to go with the Joker.
Okay.
I mean, he's dominating the game. He's averaging a triple-double. We've never seen a big man pass like this. I mean, he's leading the league in assists. He's averaging a triple-double. Yeah, I know that the Nuggets are like, what, 6th seed right now, but if they get up to, like, a top 3 seed, I really believe he should be the MVP. I mean, we've never seen a center lead the league in assists.
Wow.
And if he does that, the triple-double?
That's impressive.
I think he should be MVP.
Definitely, I think that you make a great argument for him. Right now, I got Luka.
Okay.
I think because look at what Luka did without Kristaps Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have this team, at, you know, the record that they're at in the West, look at the numbers right now. Luka, the assist is what does it for me. He averages 8.3 assists. That's the defining number, I think, right now that puts him in the front. And what he's done without him, but I think something else to say too, we haven't gotten to see this Mavs team at full strength.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have been saying they need one more piece, and I'm not sure about that yet because I think Kristaps matches up well as anybody with AD, right? And then you have to account for Luka when you look at LeBron, but Tim Hardaway Jr. has been putting up numbers, and everybody keeps talking about third scorer.
Mm-hmm.
This dude's averaging 18 a game. He's had 230-plus games. People better start taking recognition of that. And then they got Josh Richardson. I think Luka and them, if they could stay healthy.
I mean, it's part of why tonight's Bucks matchup is so interesting, right?
Interesting,
because you got a very good team that they're going to have to square off against.
Mm-hmm.
I would just throw in there Joel Embiid into the mix right now. Off to a great start. I was throwing Kevin Durant into the mix because I didn't feel like playing with Kyrie disqualified him in any way from being voted on. I do wonder if voters would reward Kevin Durant, even if he ends up having a great season, because now Harden is there also. We saw with the Golden State group, voters just didn't want to reward one of those guys because they felt they were getting enough help from the other guys. I'm not saying that that's the right way to go. Maybe Kevin will distinguish himself as the real MVP, besides Wanda, by the end of this season. But I would throw Embiid in there, and let's see what happens with
Durant. And you made a good point about our Heat team. LeBron won MVP with
D-Wade
and Chris Bosh on the roster. So it's very possible.
It can happen.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the late game, the Pelicans facing the Lakers. Zion Williamson, he struggled with injuries, of course, minutes restrictions last season, but the Pelicans have lifted those minutes restrictions. Where do you think Zion is right now in terms of his development? Is he on schedule?
Are you asking Paul?
I'm asking Mr. Pierce.
Yeah. What you got? Yeah. I mean, you're in your second year. You average a 21 a night. Your team is going to be in contention for playoffs, and there's no denying his impact and excitement, the excitement he brings to the city of New Orleans. He's right on the right path going toward where he needs to be, and I think he will be an all-star this year.
Yeah,
and if I'm going to be the coach and nitpick him a little bit, Zion Williamson, come on, man. You got to average double-digit rebounds.
Okay.
He has to. He's a beast on the glass.
He's only 6'3", though. He's only 6'3".
Oh, man. Speaking shoulders are 6'3".
Other short
way.
People, although me being short is a foot shorter than Zion. I mean, you got to think Stan's on him, though, about
absolutely.
Dude, right?
You already know. Stan is coaching the heck out of this guy. He's going to make him a complete basketball player. I think we got to look at the body of work of Zion over years because he's already ready to go to impact the league. So I think it might be too early to ask, is his development in the right place? He's already doing what we thought he was going to do.
I think it's a good question only and an interesting point only because I think the Pelicans are doing it the right way. And we have seen teams try to rush in prodigies or maybe not use them the right way early and it impacts the rest of their career. It has felt so far that they're doing it the right way.
When you got Brandon Ingram over there,
that's right.
You could take your time a little bit because Brandon Ingram is balling.
Amen. All right, I want to talk about the Grizzlies. Ja Morant is listed as questionable for Friday's game. This is tonight against the Timberwolves after missing more than 2 weeks with a left ankle sprain. Ooh. Remember, his initial timeline was 3 to 5 weeks, so he's coming back early. The Grizzlies have gone 4-4 in his absence, which, frankly, a lot of people thought they couldn't do.
Right.
So what do you think his impending return means for Memphis, Coach?
Oh, that's huge, especially the fact that they've held the fort without him. 4-4 in the West, you know, young team, really holding it down, keeping themselves relevant. And we know what he is. This guy is dynamite. When he's one of the guys I would pay to go see. He is electric. And so getting him back and you held the fort down, I think it built a lot of confidence in everyone else.
That's a good point.
Two, and now he's coming back healthy, ready to go. I think that's really going to elevate them. And give credit to the coaching staff. Coach Jenkins has done a great job with his staff of getting these guys to commit defensively. Mm-hmm. They turn you over. Mm-hmm. They're second in the league in assists, I think, somewhere up in the top five. They move the ball. And so they're building the right habits to be a team to worry about for the future.
Yeah, we all know. It doesn't matter how well coached you are. You can't win without your stars.
You got to have horses.
I mean, yeah, they went 4-4, but we all know you need your
body.
You guys want a shot at the playoffs, but I was really impressed with how they held down the fort going 4-4. And like you said, he's actually my favorite player in the league to watch today. I mean, just the energy, the excitement he brings. He's a superstar in the making. If he can stay healthy, hopefully he can guide this team to an eighth seed that they had in their hands before the bubble.
Yep.
And like so many of the young stars in our league, just such a good, thoughtful kid off the court, too. So really
awesome
lucky
kid.
For Memphis to have him. Coming up, you heard the bell. You hear the bell? I hear the bell. There you go. I'm prescient. Look at that. Means we're playing another edition of the Stat Market. Okay. Nikola Jokic currently averaging a triple-double, as Paul noted. We're going to ask if you buy or sell. He can do that for the rest of the season. Stick around. See how you answer our questions, how they match up with Paul and Fitz. That is the opening bell, meaning the stat market is open for the day. We give you the stats. You buy or sell whether you think those trends will continue. So first up is Joel Embiid shooting a career-high 54% from the field this season. It's kind of surprising he's never shot 50% from the field in his career.
Yeah,
that's shocking.
Right?
I would have never guessed that.
So, Paul, do you buy or sell Embiid finishing above 50% this season?
I'm buying it. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life. He hired a nutritionist. He is out here balling and should be in the MVP conversation.
Yep.
Yes, Joel Embiid surprisingly should be over 50% for a career, but I truly believe he will this year.
Surprisingly, Joel, when I see you, and now that I know that, I'm going to be on you, brother. You cannot be that dominant of a scorer shooting in the 40 percentile. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not having it. So he better stay above 50 this year. Doc, call me if you need me because I'll come out there and get after him. This dude is a monster.
And he's got the skill level. Obviously.
Yeah, there's no reason he shouldn't for the rest of his career, be over the top of 50% with that kind of skill set and that ability. Now, I know he shoots threes and mixes up his game and stuff like that. But still, even with that being said, he should be a higher percentage player from that.
That was surprising.
Well, he is
very
now.
Surprising.
He is now, and he does have the best quote of all time about shooting. He said that when he was growing up very far from the NBA and wanted to learn how to shoot better and shoot from more distance, he said that he went to YouTube and put in white guys shooting threes. And that he just learned from there, even though he wasn't getting the game on a day-to-day basis. So. There you go. Next up, Nikola Jokic, who is currently averaging a triple-double. Only Russell Westbrook and Oscar Robertson have ever done that over a full season. But as we discussed in the last segment, game never seen a guy quite like Jokic. So do you buy or sell, Coach, Jokic averaging a triple-double?
I'm buying it because I want to see it.
Okay. You changed your answer here.
I changed my answer because I think it's so hard, especially for a big, but he's just not normal.
Right.
He's not normal, and I just have to accept that this guy is special. The way he moves the ball, the way he sees the game. Look at the placement of his passes. LeBron is one of the only few guys that I saw that I've seen in my life put the ball right there. Mm-hmm. He always puts the ball right there from a timing standpoint. The scoring and the and the rebounding is going to be there. Is can you keep the assists at that level? Wow. And I just think this will be awesome if he pulls it off, so I am buying it.
Look how much higher Coach, his pace is than Wilt, though.
Rich, sign me up.
Yeah?
I'm buying.
You're in.
When I look at these, look at the way
the names.
He causes so much attention when he gets the ball. If you notice that every time he got the ball in the post, he got double teamed. He got guys cutting. He has shooters. Then what's the most surprising thing is his ability to get the rebound and push it. You know, for a for a center and make plays
guard.
Because there's no other center in the league right now that can do that. That you can get the rebound, push it full court, and give you the pass right on the dime for a layup. And so, in the way they run their offense through him to the high post and the half court, the way he can make them bounce pass for cutters, I'm buying.
Hey, by the way, we was talking about it on the break.
Yeah.
He got a few guys paid in the offseason that they lost, by the way. I think it was like three guys, Beasley, Grant, and Craig all ended up doing very well in the free agent market.
Yep.
And a lot of that had to do with having that unselfish big that gets that ball where you need it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And he also, you can see, has been really dedicated to the training regimen that he picked up in the break before the bubble. He's now walking around telling other people on the team. He told Tim Connelly, he said, you can't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's sugar. That's bad for you, which is pretty amazing. I think if you're Michael Malone, you're pretty excited to hear that he's the one who's monitoring other people's eating habits. Lastly, New York Knicks, they're relying on their young guys at the moment. Fizz, obviously you are intimately familiar with
Grind
this roster. RJ Barrett leading the league with almost 38 minutes per game. His teammate Julius Randle third with 37 minutes a night. Do you buy or sell, Fizz, them carrying this type of load for the Knicks? You know them better than anyone.
I'm buying. Those guys are in great condition. Come on, RJ Barrett's like 14 years old. He don't get tired. They gave me crap for this when I was in New York. The press was like, oh, you're playing RJ so many minutes. I'm like, he's 12.
Right.
These guys are young. They're having success with those two guys on the floor together. They're going to need them on the floor to take that big jump. Man, Latrell Sprewell played like 42 minutes a night for like three seasons. So I think sometimes we get a little too much with the minutes management.
Let me tell you something, Coach. These minutes have nothing to do with their conditioning.
Right.
They're going to average these minutes because of Coach Tibbs.
They're going to get it.
Right, but will their conditioning allow them to?
Yeah, they will. Listen, yeah, these guys
if
did Tibbs conditioning
didn't have
tests.
To sub, he wouldn't sub nobody out.
Dog, he's playing seven. But you know what? Here's an important point, I think, Paul, that's important. For them to make this jump that they want to make, they're not planning to get to the end of June, like, the, you know, the finals. They're trying to get into the playoffs.
Yes.
And so for them to make that jump, he's
going
to play his best.
Point.
Yeah. So it's not like he's wearing them out for June.
Right.
So he's going to play them out to get that team to take that big jump that they need to take.
And
those two guys can take
it. No load manager with him.
Paul would know. There you go. That's the closing bell, meaning the stat market done for the day. We'll be back with another edition soon. Coming up in this show, Steve Nash. Now has KD, Kyrie, and the beard in his starting lineup. Is his job easier or harder now? I love this question. You're going to hear what Paul Pierce says to that. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Tough news out of Portland. Man, this stunk last night. Oilers are center Jusuf Nurkić fractured his right wrist, say that six times fast. Third quarter of last night's game.
Right there?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's tough. I feel bad for Nurk, man. He's dealing with injuries pretty much his whole career.
Dang, man. Portland, I was just excited to see them fully loaded. And he was starting to come back because he's such a big part of making those other guys better.
Yeah.
You know, he's their Jokic.
Yes.
And to not have him, you know, that's a tough blow. Tough blow.
I mean, obviously, they're used to adapting without him in the lineup now. But, again, yeah, it's a competitive Western Conference, too, guys. And, obviously, whatever time he misses, that's ground that you've lost.
Last games this year, too?
There you go.
It's tough.
Time for our League Pass game of the weekend, Magic versus Nets on Saturday at 6 Eastern. Yes, James Harden expected to make his Brooklyn debut, and Kyrie Irving could be available as long as he continues to clear COVID-19 protocols. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Kyrie will play tomorrow. Here is Steve Nash on Harden today.
Offensively, it's going to be a challenge just to figure out the how these parts fit. It's a great problem to have because they're all extremely talented offensive players. I think defensively, you know, they also are very capable. The big three are capable defenders. They're intelligent and experienced players. So while we have to go down this path and figure out what the best way to defend is with this group, I do think that there's more potential than maybe people assess from the outside on paper.
So I love the question I'm about to ask next. Shout out to our producers. Coach Fizz, does the trade for James Harden make Steve Nash's job easier or harder?
It's a toss-up in some ways. Like, you obviously see all the talent and you say, yes, it's easier, but it's just not easy. When we talked about sacrifice earlier, you really got to get these guys to understand how they have to impact the game while at the same time letting other people bring their ego to it too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the tough part, is really getting guys to understand that and how to fit that in systematically. And I think Steve is right. When you got smart guys who are capable of defending systematically, if you put them in the right places, they should be able to defend, especially when you got two champions and a couple MVPs in that group. So again, the sacrifices that need to be made will be the most important thing. But I think it's a toss-up between if his job is harder or easier.
What do you think, Paul?
I believe that Steve Nash has the toughest job in America right now. Because for one, you have to earn the respect of your star players. Coming into this, Kyrie didn't respect Steve Nash. He came out and said, look, we don't need him to coach. You know, he's pretty much the face of the sideline. And he took back those words. Mm-hmm. Two, you got to put in a system to where you can make all these guys happy. Three, you got to manage egos.
Mm-hmm.
Four, there's expectations. When you get these capital players, you have expectations. It's championship or bust. No coach has ever been put in this situation of recent memory with this task at hand in your first job as a head coach ever.
Right.
And so to me, this is one of the more difficult jobs in America.
I'm going to just check you and say, hardest job in American sports right now?
American sports.
Right.
American
Because right, we obviously
sports.
Have some
in sports. Only in
healthcare
sports.
Workers,
in
teachers
sports.
Doing
no,
a harder
no,
work
course.
Right now, but
Only
which I know
sports.
You meant. I know you meant that. Go
Absolutely.
Ahead.
And I think, you know, the point that you made that I think is really important in this whole thing is what Steve Nash has to do right now, he's doing it without training camp. You said that during the break, and I thought that was a critical point.
Yep.
He doesn't have a camp to get these guys all clicking and rolling. They're in the middle of the season. And I don't know, Paul, you asked me this question during the break, is have we ever seen an MVP traded in season?
Mm-hmm.
And this
Not
is the first time I think we've ever seen this. So, yes, his job is difficult, but, boy, that's a good problem to have. You got some firepower over there. And they will definitely be in the race to win the title.
Steve gave some good insight into his process in that press conference today. He said, you got to basically strip it down, get everyone in the same room and say, are we all on the same page in terms of our motivation, which is, of course, winning a title.
Yep.
And once you start from there, that's how you slowly build. Well, we're going to get there by doing this. And then maybe the next game you build one more layer. We're going to get there by doing that. And that's how you kind of work in the sacrifice element because
Absolutely.
You keep reminding guys, well, we're all in the same goal. How did Doc do it with you?
I mean, it was easy. We were all almost in the twilight of our career. We just wanted to win at that point.
Right.
I was 30. KG was 31. Ray was 32.
It's similar
we're at the
to
point,
the ages here, right?
Kyrie has won and KD has won.
But James
it's all
hasn't.
On Harden right now.
Yep. Yep, and I asked him that, how important it was to him, and he's pretty important to him, so we'll see as he goes there. All right, guys, it's been a busy week in the NBA. I'm sure it will be just as busy next week. We will be back Monday at 3 Eastern. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a good weekend.